Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. As usual, in studio today, we have Paul, our trusty engineer.
I am hanging with the cool kids again here today. You have brought the king of cool in with you here today.
Well, I'm so pleased to have with me not only a longtime friend, but business confidant and good friend, and someone that I think makes me look pretty good most of the time, Dave Welch of Bespoke. Dave, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
And remind everybody, I felt so foolish the first time you came in, I had to go look up Bespoke. I know you spell it B period spoke, yeah. But the word Bespoke means what?
So again, back in the old days of tailoring, when people would go into a tailor shop in mainly London, because the word kind of generated from obviously English, people would go into a fabric tailor shop. They were kind of the same back then. And you'd pick a fabric and the tailor would pull it down, because at the time they had all the fabrics in-house. And on the ticket, they would write bespoken for Bart Zandbergen. So before,
I love that story. Yeah,
yeah. They used to use that word.
Bespoken for, yes, right.
And in, I guess, bespeak was something that they kind of used in that time era to kind of say, hey, that's mine, or I'm speaking for that. Now it's morphed into a verb, kind of through the evolution of language, to really talk about kind of more custom tailoring of something. So in Bart's world, he's actually creating bespoke wealth financial plans.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Because every one of his clients is unique and different, mm-hmm. and has different goals and different timelines based on their age. And so many companies are using this as a hot term. And obviously for us, it fits.
Yeah. Maybe not great for you. I know you had a story the other day where someone said, hey, I saw your company here. And it's like, no, bespoke is now a verb that's turned into maybe even a noun.
It was
a company name.
It's very general. It's funny. My wife got a call from one of her best friends and was reading People magazine and say, oh my God, I saw that Hugh Jackman had a bespoke suit on. And she thought it was from us. And we kind of said it wasn't.
But if he's listening, you're happy to make one for him.
Yeah, we would work with him for sure.
Well, let me give a little more background on Dave, because Dave is we're gonna elaborate on some of this, Dave. So
okay.
Dave is a personal image tailor to the executive and professional athlete community. As one of Southern California's premier custom clothiers, Dave works with clients to help them define what it means to be well-dressed in any situation. And by any situation, and Dave, you and I have gone through this with my own wardrobe, we have business lives, we have social lives, and we have a business day that turns into a social evening, so we're going to talk a bit about that. One thing, Dave, that I didn't actually know about you until just today, I knew you are very educated, you have your AA degree in fashion design, but you also have a degree from Cal State Long Beach that is Asian studies and marketing.
Yeah.
I had no idea about the Asian studies.
Yeah, you know, this was back, I graduated in 91, a while back. And right around that time was the kind of the rise of the four dragons. You remember that term that they were saying?
Yeah.
And I wasn't 100% sure if fashion was really going to be my career. I thought, you know, an AA degree at Orange Coast College is about 2 years long. And I figured, you know what? I'm already in the college mode. I'm going to transfer to Long Beach State. And I'm going to pursue like marketing and that type of thing. Well, these four Asian tigers, I think it was, if I remember right, for sure it was Japan. It wasn't really China at the time. I think it was like Malaysia. We'd have to do some research.
Yeah.
But they were talking about, if you remember, a lot of these Japanese companies were buying up these huge real estate portfolios when our economy was down, their economy was up.
Sure.
So my thought process at the time was, hey, if Asia's growing as a kind of a big economic power, it might make sense to kind of get this degree and kind of partner that up with like a marketing kind of sub degree,
yeah,
and then go into and have a resource that made me hopefully hireable at the time. At the end of the day, my love of fashion and being around clothing kind of trumped all that. But that does sound random, but
All right, just a little more background. I know you're not going to toot your own horn, then I'll cut you loose. I know you've been a member of the YEO Young Entrepreneurs Organization for a long time, since 03. You serve on their board, and you volunteer for the Orange County Board of the Junior Diabetes Foundation. You're a frequent guest speaker at the USC Lloyd Grief Center. Griff Center, and was and you've been named amongst the Orange County Metro's annualist of Business Stars Under 40. You're not under 40.
That's why I go. That's an old bio.
You've also been, maybe this number's been updated, five-time nominee of the Orange County Business Journal Excellence in Entrepreneur Award. Very nice. All right, so let's kind of get into some of the fun stuff. So core competency. Let's start there.
Part of everybody's journey as an entrepreneur, even as just a regular person, if you're an employee or whatever, is really trying to zero in on your core competency. Many times I've been in the, I've been trapped thinking I could do most everything. And I realized that my core competencies are really people, building relationships, really having a genuine heart for clients and just people in general. Design is obviously a core competency. Mm-hmm. Ability to kind of see patterns and colors and mixing and matching and all those type of things are my core competencies. Mm-hmm. As you know, one of my core competencies that I lack in is a little bit of organization and those small details. So I usually kind of say I'm probably a little bit more of a, is it right brain or left brain? I forget. See, I don't even know.
That makes you left brain.
Left brain, yeah. I'm left brain creative most of the time. My right brain was underdeveloped at birth, I think.
Let's just kind of go into your core competency, and why don't we describe for, I was going to say for the gentleman, but for maybe for the ladies that want to address their gentleman, brand new client, what, tell them what you do for them,
sure,
and then, you know, first, you know, couple of outfits, just start the core foundation.
Sure. Usually when a prospect or someone that's just, you know, wants to work with us, kind of a new engagement, we'd call it. You know, we'd have them come in the showroom. We're here in Costa Mesa. We've built kind of a showroom that is a little bit more relaxing. It's very unpretentious. I feel that I built it in a way, and I get the feedback that most people feel very comfortable there. I really want to spend the first opening moments just getting to know who they are. You know, tell us a little bit about what you do for a living. Why do you wear clothes in a way, meaning that when you go to work, what do you want your clothes to say about you? And we try to walk them through different scenarios. You know, do you go to charity events? Do you, are you on any boards? How often are you wearing suits? Are you wearing sport coats? You know, and really kind of very consultative. Just like in any business, your business is the same. You need to know where someone is before you can kind of make recommendations on where you want them to go. Once we do all that, then we'll kind of get an idea of maybe what's an action plan for them. So the client might say, hey, I'm looking to update. I need a suit and a sport coat. So once we decide maybe what they're going to go for, we'll start talking about fabrics, even educating them a little bit. You know, it's kind of... sometimes fabrics can be a little bit maybe hard to really know what's really in a fabric. So we really want to educate clients, very much like I know you love wine, and there's so many differences of wines and varietals and different grapes and how they taste. Same thing in our world. Fabrics are all over the board, different qualities. So we'll educate them. We'll take their measurements. So we'll build a pattern exclusively for them. We're not changing or making something kind of made to measure. We literally take, you know, 30, 35 measurements, skin measurements, and then use a process to build a pattern for them. Once we have their pattern created, then we'll go through styling details and how we want it cut. And you can have some fun personal details with contrasting stitching and fun linings, whether it be a photo, custom photo lining. I had a client who's a big USC fan. He wanted the SC logo in there. Different things. Company logos can go in there. So once we do all that, then the order is placed, and then we'll see him back in usually about 6 weeks. They come back in, we do a fitting, tweak, any small tweaks are done locally. And then we have a pattern for them. And then we really kind of chart out, you know, a little bit of a strategic plan over their life. You know, what is, you know, what do you have going on this year? Are you attending any conferences, going to any weddings, you know, and just trying to think out what they might need so we can be proactive for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds really familiar. We've been through that.
All right.
Guy comes in, needs a complete overhaul, business guy. What's your first two suits?
Well, again, let's just say he doesn't have anything.
Yeah, start from scratch.
I would for sure get him or suggest to him either a medium blue to a not too dark of a navy, mm-hmm. but maybe for sure blue. So we can decide whether it's going to be a kind of a medium blue or slightly darker navy, but not midnight blue. That's a core basic that every man should have. What's great about it is it's always appropriate in every business setting. There's studies done literally where they had a gentleman wear different color suits to an audience, and then they would ask the audience, hey, who did you trust more? And they asked him a bunch of questions, but this was one of the questions. Yeah. And I think it was close to like 80% for whatever reason trusted the guy wearing a blue suit. And over time, it's just been the blue suit. The second suit that I would recommend is probably like a dark charcoal solid suit. Both of these I would probably recommend as solids or a very subtle pattern, but it's not distinguishable. What's nice about a navy suit is you could also wear it as a sport coat. Again, if we're building his wardrobe, we can give him some options to mix and match those two items until he kind of starts building more of a foundation where maybe he doesn't have to mix and match as much. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure you've gotten a lot of value by mixing and matching. And I think a lot of men, generally speaking, sometimes don't realize they can do that. So with hopefully some of our counsel, they can realize, hey, it's okay.
Do you remember when we did my first two suits? It was over 20 years ago.
Like
25 years ago.
You might still have them.
Well, at least have the same pattern. They've been replaced from the 90s cut to the 2015-18 cut. But you probably don't remember. I'm not going to force you to remember the patterns. But if you recall, we did a black three-piece suit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did a houndstooth three-piece.
Yeah.
And then remember the combinations that we created out of that?
Mm-hmm. Those are great. The good thing is Bart kind of already had a foundation, so we could do those. But that's what's great about that, and that's kind of this concept that we're really working on, is more of like a looking at your wardrobe as a component system and not looking at it as like, hey, I put in all my money into one suit. And so you're right. You can mix and match all those. And pretty soon we're going to lay that out with photographs to be able to show a client how by taking two outfits, look how many outfits that you have, maybe by adding a pair of jeans, you know, a couple solid shirts, and even just one or two ties, how many outfits you have.
And then not to belabor it, but just what really increased the availability of options was the houndstooth vest with the black suit, or the black vest with the houndstooth suit, or the houndstooth vest, houndstooth jacket, black pants. So I kind of lost track of how many we actually created.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
But it was exponential.
That's why I think it'd be kind of cool to actually create like a photo series, and then you could literally count all the different combos. Yeah.
I think Paul does something like that with his cargo pants and t-shirts.
I do. I have many combinations of cargo pants and t-shirts. It's amazing how I can, you know, create different moods and ambiances here.
Yeah. And he wears white socks with everything.
White socks with everything. Exactly.
Yes.
You know, you often said, what does your clothes say when somebody walks in the room? It says, I'm lonely. I have no friends. Hey, let's we'll give you one more minute, and then we're going to run a commercial here, and we'll come back and talk about, I like this idea of custom tailoring and how it's come back in vogue. It was my father's generation, the Rat Pack era, that loved this. The old hippies and I threw that image away and went for army clothes and torn jeans and everything. And now I see my son-in-law and the new entrepreneurs. It's the personal brand statement you're making, right? All right, let's run a commercial. We'll come right back, okay?
All right.
With more than 25 years of experience, Bart's comprehensive perspective has earned acclaim from clients across the globe. Gain access to lessons learned throughout Bart's career by following at Bart Sandbergen on Instagram. To learn more about Bart Sandbergen as an advisor, mentor, and public speaker, and for more information on Optivest Wealth Management, please visit www.bartsandbergen.com.
All right, back to Bart and his guests.
It's about more of the process. And let's talk about maybe kind of the trends that you've seen. I know you've been in the business now 27, 8?
Long time, 93.
Yeah. All right. So we're
not good at math.
Yeah. So. That's 27 years almost.
Gosh.
So, in any event, what have you seen, especially lately? There's been that conversation for a long time now of business casual and, you know, the Silicon Valley and hoodies and especially here on the West Coast. But I think we've seen a bit of a return.
Yeah. There is a return of dressing better for sure. When the first dot-com explosion, I would say, happened, was everybody wanted to cut their ties and they were going to wear shorts and t-shirts and bring their dog to work. And it was just really, it was a tough time in our life because a lot of guys were just, they're thinking that this wasn't what they needed. But over time, I think there is kind of that same common thread that style is still important. Personal branding, what you wear, communicates a message. Again, whether we like it or not, it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all make visual judgments when we meet anybody. You know, we bump into somebody at a market, we see someone at a networking meeting, and we're going to make judgment. It's just the way it is. So we've seen a return to that. Now, what we're seeing is guys are probably wearing suits. It depends on your industry, but guys are wearing suits a little less generally. But when they do want to wear a suit, what we're realizing, most guys want to look like $1 million. It's really important meeting. It's something in their business that is, you know, they're doing a presentation, they're going to court, whatever it might be, it's important, or it's a social event. But what we're seeing a lot nowadays is kind of the rise of the sport coat, and that being kind of the new business casual, even with jeans, but sport coat. I mean, we're both wearing sport coats today, yeah. Open collar shirts. You can wear them with jeans, slacks. The jacket still adds a little bit more of the elegance. You know, I'm so tired of seeing professionals walk in with, you know, slacks and a polo shirt or just a shirt, button down shirt and slacks. I think the jacket just adds one extra layer of elegance, competence, sophistication. And I think it's a tool that takes a client's wardrobe to the next level, but still allows them to be casual.
Yeah.
Where they're not walking in a meeting wearing a 3-piece suit and it's not appropriate for their industry all the time.
Yeah.
But that's been a big rise. Ties are now guys are wearing ties a little bit more as kind of an accessory item because they want to, not because mm-hmm. they have to. In the past, you had to wear a tie every day.
Yeah.
So now guys are wearing ties because they want to. So.
Yeah. Put you on the spot.
Yeah.
This is one of your famous lines.
Uh-oh.
This is what you sell. You sell
confidence.
Yeah. And compliments.
And compliments. Sorry.
Yeah.
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 The two C's.
Yeah. And I always thought that was great because that's in fact what happens.
Yeah. You know, it took a while to figure that out. And I think you told me, you even said that you sell peace of mind
or sleeping
better.
And maybe that's what we played off each other on that. Yeah.
You know, I think maybe either we talked about it years ago. There was the good old speaker, Zig Ziglar.
I love him.
And maybe you're the one that told me about it, was talking about really driving down and figuring out what is the product of your product. And he used this analogy of a drill bit. And when people go to Home Depot and they buy a drill bit, what are they buying? And most of the audience was talking about the drill bit or the size of the drill bit or whatever. He says, no, you're buying the hole,
yeah.
Right? And so that was one of those kind of eye-opening. So yeah, you sell sleeping better.
Yeah.
And I sell compliments. And also the confidence. You know, when you walk into a room, you have the confidence knowing that your clothes, you know, look and feel good, and you can just worry about doing your thing.
Yeah. So let's shift gears just a little bit, and we'll circle back right before we close. But you're a businessman, too.
Correct.
Right? So most of us, I mean, the e-myth is applicable to most of us that run our own business. And I've seen you as a employee of a firm, as a partner in a firm, and now running your own firm.
Yeah.
So, you know, off the top of your head, what are some of the challenges, or what are some of the victories that you've really had?
Well, there's been tons of challenges, like anybody. Going back to the e-myth, you know, part of my journey has been trying to slowly build a business that is bigger than just me, and bringing on talent and coaching, mentoring them, so I can actually maybe step back and let others kind of build the business. So that's been one of my biggest challenges, is kind of letting go of certain aspects of the business. But I also realized probably 4 or 5 years ago, when I wasn't letting go, I was running myself ragged. I was driving all over the place, delivering clothes, measuring people, trying to make every sale. And I was basically my own best employee, and realized that I kind of had to make a shift as I'm getting older. And realizing that, you know, I'm not going to be here forever, and things are going quickly. So part of Bespoke was actually a game plan to build an actual business that could hopefully thrive without me doing every single transaction, every fitting. I'm still working with clients because I do love it, but generally speaking, it's all about building people on my team, coaching and mentoring them, and really helping them kind of take the business to the next level.
Mm-hmm. What's the biggest pitfall or challenges you run into?
Usually it's me getting in the way. It's either me thinking that I've let go and I realize I haven't, and people going, "Hey, Dave, you wanted us to do, you know, this," or that's probably been my biggest challenge. And then also just trying to be patient by taking risks.
Yeah.
You know, and understanding that everywhere I've gotten has taken a risk, and we've gotten through it.
Yeah.
And so there's always a new risk on every horizon.
Yeah. Well, I can confidently say and attest to that I've seen a big difference, right, from your early days to in a way your operation is running now. So I think you're really accomplishing what you set yourself out for. So that's great.
Well, going back to this is also a small plug for you. You know, Bart's been with me since pretty much day one, and really being a core advisor to helping us look at some of the human capital benefits that we have, you know, by helping us with our healthcare and what our offerings are and how we can kind of deal with that, because that's very confusing, and you've been able to keep it very simple. And then in addition, we've kind of gotten out of the toddler stage and maybe into the we're out of the baby stage and the toddler stage by having a simple IRA.
Yeah, a retirement plan.
Plan. So now we're very excited to be able to offer that to our clients.
Yeah.
Feel like a big boy company with that. And so, again, that's been something that you've been able to kind of coach us through it. So
you're all grown up.
Small little plug. He's done a great job, and that makes me sleep better.
Yeah.
So
thanks for that. All right. Couple of random things. Pocket square, no pocket square.
Pocket square for sure, you know, especially with nowadays guys aren't wearing ties.
Yeah.
Pocket square adds a great little touch of pizzazz in any jacket, even if you're wearing a tie, but nowadays without. So yes, 100%.
Okay. Your guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure. Well, I have a few, but I would say sausage pepperoni pizza.
Whoa.
Yes.
All right. Now we're talking.
Yeah. That's definitely a cheat day.
Yeah. Okay. Favorite wine.
You know, what's funny is years ago, one of my favorite wines that I shared with my wife was a Schaefer Merlot, but it was like in the early 80s, so it had matured, and it didn't taste like a Merlot. I remember that movie, Sideways, and they bitched about Merlot. Yeah. This was actually delicious, and it was full-bodied. I love full-bodied wines, so if you guys have any suggestions, I know Bart's a somm here, but if you guys have any, but I do love that. Kind of a member of a few wine clubs. So,
All right. So just, I know we're out of time, but you opened this box, Pandora's box. Yeah, so just so you know, there's a backstory to the Merlot in the movie. So in the book, which is obviously much more detail, the reason that he hates Merlot is not that he hates Merlot. It says because his ex-wife loved Merlot.
Ah.
So that's why he didn't drink
it. I don't think they go into that detail, do they?
Or no, not in the movie. Cut? So that's okay. why the industry just went flat on Merlot because of that movie.
I remember that.
Not the book.
Yeah, these poor Merlot producers were like, what happened? Yeah.
All right, Dave, it's been great fun having you on the show.
Thank
time
you.
Goes by fast always.
It does.
But now I have the honor of asking you my final thought question.
Okay.
So why don't you share with us and the listeners your ultimate lesson learned as your career as a custom clothier?
It's definitely realizing that you need to bring on people that are smarter, more talented than you, and really try to understand your own limitations. One, to be able to grow and not always see them as limitations. I'm always trying to get better. But also realize that you are who you are, and you want to find people that are more talented to you. You want to build a team around you, and that's kind of been my main journey, is really building a team around me that kind of
bring
me up and be talented in areas where I'm not.
Yeah. Well, there seems to be a consistent theme in your evolution here,
and
that's very consistent. Well, again, Dave, it's been great having you on the show. Why don't you let everybody know how they can reach you? Website, phone?
So it's pretty easy. Our website is bespokestyle.com. That's B-S-P-O-K-E, the word style.com. That's also our handle for Instagram, so B-S-P-O-K-E, style.com. And those are probably the two best places to track us down, website.
Yeah.
If you want to email me directly, it's just dave@bespokestyle.com. Keep it simple.
Awesome. All right. Thanks so much, everyone who has tuned in. We look forward to having you back in studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc., under SEC registration.